Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're on your smart speakers. Say play ESPN Radio. We're on the app. Click on the lower right-hand corner of the ESPN app. Scroll down to live radio. We're right there. You can download the podcast if you missed any of the first 3 hours, wherever you get your podcasts. You can see us on ESPNU. Could have watched on ESPN2 till 8 a.m. We're everywhere. And joined now by King McClure, ESPN basketball analyst. So, guys,
yada, yada, yada.
Jokic and Murray just did, Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray just did something that's never been done before in the history of NBA basketball. 75 years. 70, what was it? 76? How many years are we now? 76? I mean, better part of 100 years already. Closing in on it. It's never happened that two teammates in any era, in any NBA game, have ever had 30-point triple-doubles in the same game. It's never happened before. And the dudes do it in the NBA Finals, where we see Game 3, the winner in a 1-1 series of Game 3 wins 80% of the time, and they do it on the road? By the way, the game was close in the first half, and they do it down the stretch when you need it most? Insane. Is this series now over, Jay?
I mean, I thought the series has always been that way, and it's, people are going to take that as disrespect to Miami, but frankly, I don't care.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, Jamal Murray and Jokic had two triple-doubles last night, and I get that post-game, you're going to hear everybody talk about, well, we didn't get the 50-50 balls. You know, the sense of urgency wasn't there. The hustle wasn't there. Why not?
Like, why wasn't it there for Denver game two?
Game three's at home. I thought this game was supposed to mean everything.
What about game two for Denver, Jay? Why not?
I look at Denver. This is who Denver's been, right? Like, you guys have been telling me that Miami's a team that plays hard all the time. Yeah. This is what we know they do.
Touché.
Right? Like they may not shoot the lights out, but you know you're always going to get the defensive effort. How come we didn't get that last night in game three? Now, I'm not saying they can't bounce back in game four, but I'm saying the odds are stacked against them. Denver is the better team. Like, I know Miami has dealt with injuries throughout the course of the year. I understand they've hit lightning in the bottle. They have not shot the ball this well all year long. In the playoffs, boom, it's happening. Respect. They deserve it. But when Denver is playing at their best, we're talking about historically one of the greatest centers the game of basketball has ever seen. Ever seen.
So if he wins a championship, you're with me on he's top 20 now, huh?
I'm not even – don't
– You pushed him back.
Don't
wait,
take me.
Max, you don't push him back now. You pushed him all the way back
to
20.
What I said was – he will be in the top 12 to 15 conversation, but top 20. He will be top 20, and he starts to approach Moses Malone and Hakeem. If back-to-back champ, back-to-back MVPs, almost three in a row, and a championship, and you're the best player in the playoffs, yeah, you start to approach Hakeem Moses territory. Yeah. That's that 12 to 15 range, yeah.
Easily top 20.
Yeah, top 20. Right, he's top 20.
Easily top 20.
And the
20.
Question is, where in the top 20? I'm not putting him top 10, but he might start to touch 15 on some lists, yeah.
But see, here's my thing. It's easy for people to say that when you don't give me a list. So until you actually draw out a list.
I'm not going to do it. I mean, I'll give it to you right now, but I don't want to bog down
that's
the
what
second.
I'm saying, I call all that stuff out, because if you don't put together a list, I need to see where your list ranks.
I will happily put together a list for you.
Yeah, I got a list.
That's fine.
I will happily put together a list.
To me, you have to win more than just one.
All right.
You can start the conversation, but at the end of the day, we do measure things upon championships won.
All right, Jay, you said you have to win multiple championships to be considered in that top 20 or top 15.
Are we talking about greatest players to ever play the game of basketball?
I think that's what we're saying, you have to win.
I think you have to start winning multiple, yes.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, I don't know if everyone feels that way.
But isn't there some people in the top 20-ish that hadn't won multiple?
Once again, I think we're speaking flippantly. We're saying, hey, here's what our top 20 is, but nobody wants to name out their top 20.
But we do, Jay. It's just that but then the segment just becomes a list. But I have a top. I give you top 10 for sure, and then the candidates for the next 10 for sure.
No, you can write it down, Max, and when you're ready
give it to, you right
to give it to us. You have to give it to us right now. Yeah. You can give it to us later on, but you can write it down. Yeah. Write it down during the break.
So, I mean, that's how I feel. Like I do. I think the series – I think game four is going to be a dogfight.
Yeah.
If Denver wins game four, it's over.
It's over for sure.
It's over. Well, I have a feeling that Denver's going to win game four in a dogfight.
I don't think they will, because you said earlier that Denver is clearly the better team. When have we seen in this playoffs Miami be the better team?
When have we seen in the playoffs? I'm sorry.
In this year's playoffs, when have we seen Miami be the better team when they step on the court?
We've seen them be the better team a lot.
That's what, no, I'm talking on paper. On paper.
Just
when
maybe the Knicks, maybe?
Maybe the Knicks, but I'd argue no, because the whole narrative that we've pushed behind Miami has been they have a bunch of undrafted guys who shouldn't be there, and they're an 8 seed, and they've been playing horrible the whole year. So when have we seen Miami actually be the better team on paper?
Okay, fair point, but I don't think they played a team like Denver. Denver is not like the teams they played. Like, and it's funny, like, all those metrics that people try to use, like, well, Denver, they play the highest seeds of all time. Like, think about the – I go back to KD and D-Book. Mm-hmm. It took D-Book to average 40 on 80% shooting. And the most prolific scorer maybe in the game of basketball has ever seen in Kevin Durant to get 2 wins. And those games were both, like, close.
Yeah.
And in their wins, you talk about Denver won by plus 15. In their wins. So, like, everything needs to be hit on every cylinder for Miami to win. Like, that's not the case for Denver. Michael Porter Jr. has yet to show up to the NBA Finals, and they have a 2-1 lead.
Yeah.
Like, how do you not factor that into it when you're talking about a team hitting all cylinders? Like,
well, Jay, I will remind you that when the playoffs started, your pick was the Bucks. And
my pick has been Denver from the beginning of the year.
No, wait. In the West,
I picked the Bucks to come out the East.
Okay, out the East. They have a player who has won Finals MVP and multiple MVPs, right? He's done more in his career than Jokic has so far at the beginning of these playoffs. He was injured for several games. However, Jimmy Butler also was hurt for a game. They have other all-stars and an excellent team and continuity and the whole thing. And Jimmy Butler and them knocked them off. And then the Celtics were then became the favorites to get out of the East. And earlier in the season were many people's pick to get out of the East, and they knocked them off too. So if Denver is more of a team than those, like, how much more? Would you say they're appreciably better than at least what you perceived Milwaukee to be when the playoffs started?
I think Milwaukee was a complete anomaly. I think it's really hard when you lose your best player.
But they didn't lose him for the whole series.
They lost him for 3 games.
I mean,
that's a pretty substantial amount of games in the series.
The whole series.
Yeah, I mean, well, right. Like, what did it go, 5? They went 5? I mean, they had him for...
6, I think it was 6.
Did they go 6? I don't remember now, to be honest.
It was 5 or 6.
Let me look it up.
I don't remember, it was over pretty quick.
You losing somebody for 3 games, that's a lot.
Yeah, it does hurt.
It's only 7 games. That's a lot.
But, yeah, I guess my other question for you is, Jimmy Butler had 28 last night. But in my eyes, as a basketball player, I don't think he had a great game.
I agree with you.
So we really have not seen Jimmy Butler be Jimmy Buckets. We were talking about being Jimmy Butler. We have not seen that version of Jimmy Butler in this final series.
So we call, you know, it's like, this is how I feel about Key. This is like Batman versus Superman to a degree, right?
Yeah.
Like at some point, though, you're like, Batman, you have all the tools in the world, but you're still human. Right, and I'm looking at Denver like Superman, like, you guys, it's a different superpower. Right? And I feel like you see Batman get tired. You see Batman, like, Jimmy has 62 points on 57 shots in these 3 games, man. Like, that's not efficient.
Like, Batman, he's maxing out the human capability, but he's not superhuman.
And he's incredible, though. It's not to knock Batman. You just look at Batman and Superman differently, don't you?
That is true. But if you take away Christian Braun's run, right, take away, because the spark that he had was huge, and it meant a lot, because the game was close up until Christian Braun got in there, did his thing. Nobody expected that to happen. If you take away Christian Braun and his run, are we looking at a different outcome?
Yeah, but I can't take away Christian Braun and his run. Christian Braun's on the team.
No, I mean, that's very true. What I'm saying is, like, despite how good, how
but
super,
but that's like me saying, if I take away Max Strus's, you know, first 4 to 5 made threes, and – you know, is that a different game? Yes, yeah, different game. But yeah, the reality
it,
is,
but what happened. I'm saying, you're talking about how they're so superhuman. But if you take away Christian Braun's run, they're superhumanist. They're 30-point triple doubles. They're still a close game, and it might be a different outcome.
Hence why I said, though, from the beginning, though, King, yeah. I think if Miami were to win a chip, it's the greatest run I've ever seen in the history of sports.
Yeah, 100%. Because it's unexpected.
It's the greatest run.
100%. So what I'm saying
I think
is,
the odds are stacked against them like that.
So what I'm saying is, despite how bad they played last night, despite their lack of defense, their lack of toughness on the glass, and how good Jokic and Murray played, without Christian Brown's run, we might be looking at a different outcome. So if they have the toughness, if they crash the glass, Christian Brown doesn't have this run, because when do you think he's going to have another run?
Can I pose back the question to you guys, though, when you hear Jimmy Butler talk about the lack of focus or the lack of intensity? Could it be that the size and the grit of Denver is overwhelming for Miami, instead of it being like, oh, Miami didn't bring it?
Well, this is what Amber said earlier, or this is what you posed to Amber earlier, and it's a legitimate question. If the more talented team matches the gritty team's grit, what does the gritty team have to win? You know, what they have to do at that point is take that grit to another level. And if the more talented team can then match that, it's hard to win. It's like a great fighter or something. You know, the underdog guy, the tough guy tries to wear him out. But if it's Muhammad Ali, then the talented guy also beats you because he can match your grit and he's got more talent. And that's what we're here to see. You know, it's in many ways, it's why the Heat are testing the Nuggets' character.
I mean, plus 25 on the boards, man.
Yeah. Like, King, it just didn't show up.
King, plus 20. Denver didn't show up. They didn't get out-rebounded by 20.
But is Denver a gritty team? Would you consider them a gritty team?
But that's
a tough team?
You're making my point for me, brother. I'm saying that if Denver is getting to that point where they are becoming that team, like, nobody questions the experience. Like, there's championship experience on Miami, right? Kevin Love, Kyle Lowry, guys who understand, Jimmy Butler, who maximizes the most of his potential. You're watching Denver grow. And if Denver, the thing Michael Malone has talked about all year, if Denver is able to find that championship intensity, there shouldn't be anybody stopping this team. There shouldn't.
That's very fair, but I don't know if that's really who they are.
Okay.
I think that is who the Miami Heat are. I think they had a off game, which, I mean, you have those sometimes. And they had an off game, but I don't know if this is truly who Denver is. No doubt they're a more talented team. But when you talk about grittiness, toughness, I don't know if Denver will do that game in, game out, which is why I think Malone said something. They won strictly based off of their talent, but not because of their grittiness and their toughness.
Yeah, I don't think they went off their talent last night.
Oh, no, not last night. I'm talking about in the whole playoffs. They're clearly more talented. They had the best player on.
Yeah, and even if their defense wasn't better, they might have won anyway on talent, because they had two triple doubles with 30 points. Never happened before.
They swept the Lakers, man.
Wait, man.
That's not off talent, man.
You don't need to do all that, Jay. That was a month ago.
Hey.
You need to keep on all that.
Jay, I put together my list.
Digging to me, man. Don't do that.
Oh, are you going to
read it? This is what I have.
Wait. We got to go to break.
I'm going to tell you how I did it coming up.
Okay.
I put it together, and we're going to go over who you think needs to stay and who needs to be knocked out. I got definites, and I got after that questions. Could losing the finals be a blessing in disguise for the Heat? KJM, ESPN Radio.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Sirius XM Channel 80. Could losing the finals be a blessing in disguise for the Miami Heat?
Wow, we're doing that already?
What is it, Yates?
I don't even want to do that.
I'm still picking. I haven't moved.
I don't even want to do
it. I got the Heat in seven. I still got the Heat in seven. I think they're going to upset the apple cart. You know, I got the Heat in seven. But right now, you got to, you know, the odds were have always been with the Nuggets, and they're up 2-1. And the Heat are in a position where they must get a split at home now. They must. They cannot afford to go down 3-1.
What is it when I hear Cardi B rapping? What is it? Just sound good.
It does, right?
It just sound good.
Sound good. That verse was top notch. Mm-hmm. When she mentioned LSU, that was top notch in the news song with Lotto.
Yeah.
You probably know what I'm talking about, Jay, huh? You just looking
I'm
at
listening
me.
To you. No, I'm listening to you. I was waiting for Yates to play it again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just good music, man. It's so good.
It sounds good. Yeah, it sounds it's pleasing sounds to the human ear.
She went crazy on this joint.
So, Max, what weak-ass list you done put together?
Oh, you want to hear? Well, so the argument was, I said, if Jokic wins the title, he's top 20. But what I said in the past is he starts to approach that top 12 to 15 conversation. The reason I said that was I think that's the area where Moses Malone and Hakeem show up, right? And two MVPs plus a finals MVP, and he starts to be – all right. So here are the – I think there are 13 guys. It doesn't matter the exact order. Here's a basic order.
It does
order.
Matter the exact order.
Well, not the top 13, Jay, because I'm saying 12.
Said top 20.
But it does because we have to do a list. So your order matters.
MJ, LeBron, Kareem, Russ, Wilt. Those five I feel comfortable saying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. MJ, LeBron, Kareem, Russ, Wilt.
Okay.
And then the next five – this is where the order you could start to play with it, but I'll give you Magic, Kobe, Bird, Shaq, and Steph. Okay? That's the next five.
That's fair. So
now I got three more I think have to be on any list. Like these are in the top 13. Duncan, Moses, and Hakeem. That's 13. Now let me get into players where I think you can make an argument around
that. Do you have KD yet?
No. This is where I have. Now, here are the candidates I think. I think there are about 10 more candidates for the next seven spots in the top 20, okay? KD is one of them. KG is another. Mm-hmm. Oscar Robertson, in his day, he was MVP. He won a championship. Yeah. Jerry West, he was the original, you know, GOAT at that position, at the two, at the combo guard back. All right. Elgin Baylor was the Dr. J and Michael Jordan before there was one. Dr. J, whose prime was in the ABA, but still won a title in the NBA, even if he wasn't the best player on the team anymore, but was the best player on the team in the ABA when they chipped up. Dirk, who spent a year as the best player on earth. Isaiah Thomas, who led a team to back-to-back championships and is one of the great point guards of all time. Giannis, who won two MVPs and a finals MVP, which is what we're asking the Joker to do now.
Mm. You got David Robinson?
And David Robinson. Okay. Also an MVP, a scoring champ, and a champion finally when he got enough help with Tim Duncan. Okay. Those names, to me, you can start to debate which ones are anywhere from 14 to 20. But Jokic is right in there with me if he chips up. He's right in that conversation. And to tell you the truth.
You got Isaiah on the list?
Yeah.
Isaiah Thompson?
Yeah.
Thomas.
Yeah.
Where'd you have him?
He's in the bucket of players you could argue anywhere from 14 to 20, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's fair. I don't think I would get too much pushback on that. I would suggest
D-Wade.
Wade is right on the border because he got two chips and he was a finals MVP.
Yes.
So you could argue Wade, but he was never considered the man in the league, right? All these other guys, you say, yeah, he spent time as the guy. Okay. But Wade, I'll put Wade in there. I think Wade is certainly debatable, right? You want to put Wade in? I'm not going to argue against that. I think KD is going to wind up in there. That's one spot. I think Giannis, if I'm giving you the criteria for Joker, you got to apply it to Giannis. That means he's in there. That's two. So now we're up to 15. We got five more slots in the top 20. I would take Joker, if he chips up right now, over Dirk, Isaiah, Dr. J, Elgin, I take him over those guys. Probably Oscar Robertson, I would take him over. Oscar Robertson got the one chip when he had a prime Kareem with him.
Mm. Yeah, Larry Bird there?
Yeah, of course. Bird's in the top 10.
Zeke had multiple championships, though.
You want to put Zeke in?
But that's a little tough for me.
But he was never he was never the best player in the league.
He was just a good floor general.
Oh, he was more than just good. He also played his best under pressure.
My bad.
Don't say that.
But my point is, as you can see, after 13, it becomes debatable. When I say he's going to be Jokic, if he wins the MVP in the finals, is going to start to approach that 12 to 15 debate or conversation, I think he will. But you I think for sure top 20.
You don't have Clyde Drexler nowhere near?
No.
You're right. I think he ultimately he's in that top 20 mix, anywhere between probably like 17 and 20.
Yeah.
But you can make the argument. I mean, there's plausible cause for some of the other names that you had in that bucket, but I think he's definitely 17, 20 with the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I think that he'll probably get multiple rings. So I think that if he gets another ring, I think that him and Jamal Murray, this duo, could be dangerous, and I think that he could easily creep into the top 15 if he gets multiple rings.
Yeah. I mean, I know what he's set up for. I mean, when you're the best offensively skilled big the game of basketball has ever seen. I mean, if you want to compare it to Hakeem, like, tell me what offensively skilled, though.
Yeah, I mean, Hakeem was a great defender. That is not Jokic.
It's not Jokic.
No.
That's why, like, player-wise, it's different for where it is now.
But that's why I got Hakeem in that top unmovable 13.
Yeah.
But like,
I don't know if we've ever seen one that says offensively skilled.
See, the thing that Hakeem, though, like,
it used to be Hakeem. When he first got to the league, everyone called him Hakeem. It was even spelled that way.
Talk about, like, I think Jokic's game is, I like it, but I loved watching Hakeem.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, there was a rhythm and there was a sexiness with how Hakeem moved, where it felt like, once again, Max, we talk about this, Key, like that guard-like movement. Like, it's similar, like, you see Joel Embiid have that kind of rhythm. Right? Like with some of the moves that Joel and does that makes you feel differently about Hakeem
led the league in blocks and steals.
You see what you said about Hakeem? How you just, everything is just so good. You see that? Now ask yourself about the Joker.
I'm putting Hakeem in the first tier that the Joker is not in. I'm saying after Hakeem, Duncan, Steph, one or two other guys, you could debate who belongs in the top 10, who belongs 12 to 13, whatever. But there are 13 dudes, to me, who got to be in there. And then the rest are debatable. Yeah. Joker, if he wins the MVP of the finals, is going to be in that debatable list with guys like, you know, KG and Giannis and all those guys.
Hold on, Max,
Hakeem was American.
He'd have been a bigger star.
If what you predicted earlier, and what we both predicted, the Heat winning.
Yeah.
He went to Houston.
Does
a really big star.
We having this conversation with Jokic in the top 20?
No. No, if he fails to win a chip, then we will say, hold on, how did that happen? Man. You had Jamal Murray with you. You had the better team, and you didn't chip up. And then you have guys who did chip up who are going to be ahead of him. He'll be top 25 based on what we saw him do.
Except for the record, Hakeem went to Houston. He was a pretty big deal.
He was.
Faslamma Jamma.
He was. He was a big deal. He would have been even bigger is what I'm saying. How much of a chance are we giving the Miami Heat? KJM.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance and joined now by one of my favorites in the business. Used to host sometimes with me out in L.A. on 710 ESPN L.A., the great Rick Fox, ladies and gentlemen, three-time NBA champ. What's going on, Pretty Ricky?
Max, it's good to hear your voice.
Likewise.
I'm down here in the Bahamas.
Where are we at? We at Albany, Rick? Where are we at?
You know, Keyshawn. You got it.
Rick, it's so funny, yeah. Rick, because we were just talking off mic about the importance of coaching. And one thing about you that always struck me, and in conversations with you, you and I have talked about it, the coaches that identified you as a winning player, you as a guy they wanted, from Red Auerbach to Dean Smith, not in any particular order, to Phil Jackson, is just bananas. So we were just, Jay and I, kicking it around, talking coaching. What do you think about the coaching in this final series so far?
I love it. I absolutely love it. I think you have two chess players here that understand their teams exceptionally well, their players exceptionally well. I think it's going to come down to the two of those guys on the sidelines as opposed to the players on the court. And by that I mean getting the maximum out of the strategy side of how they match from game to game is what I'm enjoying the most right now. I'm seeing it. They're talking about it. You guys are discussing it. How does Miami respond to game four now? And I'm looking forward to see what the adjustments are from Spoelstra.
Rick, you played against some great bigs in your day. How do you look at Nikola Jokic's game? Like, what? It's great basketball. It's boring to me, but how do you look at it?
Yeah, I know, right? It's not our era. You have to respect the basketball IQ for sure, the understanding of how to impact the game in all aspects of it. He's a quiet leader, but there's something about his presence on the floor that's undeniable. He makes others better. He takes what's given to him and still finds a way to dominate. That wouldn't be my preference. I flow with the Shaq model, where my center is super physically imposing. But it's a beautiful thing to see when someone has mastered their game at the level he has. I caught a little bit of the debate around where he ranks all time. I think it's a little premature, even though he has two MVPs. But I got to see him close out this series and put one or two more up there to get up in that top 20 category.
Three-time NBA champion Rick Fox joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Rick, you obviously played for some special teams, and those ingredients that need to come together to win a championship, they're very hard to describe. When you watch the Denver Nuggets, are those ingredients there, and what do you still see that needs to be refined in order for them to get over the hump to win the whole thing?
So, to me, what I've noticed most over the years, and having been a part of a supporting cast with Shaq and Kobe that were able to pull us across the line and put them in the great positions that they need to do to be as amazing as they were individually and collectively as a duo. I'm looking at both teams now, and I see from my experience, the supporting cast, or as Shaq always called us the others, I would stack up the others on the Miami Heat as the stronger group of support. What I do notice, though, is, and it's undeniable, with two triple doubles of 30 points by the two stars at Denver, those two stars have the ability for Denver to carry those others across the line if Miami does not disrupt one of those superstars. And we saw in game two, Jamal Murray didn't have the type of game that he had in one and three. Joker was the Joker. But with Jimmy Butler being the lone standing, and I like Bam. No disrespect to Bam. Bam has a strong presence too as a star. But I just think that Miami's others are better than Denver's right now, and Miami just needs to find a way to neutralize or at least slow down one of those stars. And I don't think they're going to slow down the Joker. So it has to put Jamal Murray in a tough position in Game Four and on.
Rick Fox, three-time NBA champion, joins us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. I know you're enjoying yourself down in the Bahamas with that crystal clear water, Rick, but I want you to put on your general manager hat for me, your president of basketball operations hat. If it were you and you had an opportunity to land a couple of players and reshape somewhat of the Lakers roster – There's a Van Fleet that's out there. Potentially, there could be a Chris Paul out there. And then, and there's a Kyrie Irving out there. And the Lakers need some sort of help in that particular spot. Which is more viable for you to get so you could still maintain some of the roster that you already have?
Yeah, I think what you saw Pelinka do, Rob do at the trade deadline was borderline, probably as game changing and a midseason result as you've ever seen. They almost got there. You don't make those wholesale changes in the middle of the season and have the kind of results the Lakers got. That's a credit to obviously the experience of the veterans on that squad to be able to introduce new players. Even Coach Ham introduced new players in the midseason and still get the results they got. If you're talking about adding to that, I got to first call LeBron James and I got to meet him in the Bahamas, and we got to have a serious discussion about how much longer he really truly believes he wants to chase championships. I mean, he's broken the records we know personally and individually. But if you're going to bring additions in and maintain the AD LeBron nucleus, you're going to look at players like Chris. If Chris is not traded from Phoenix, you're going to look at a player like Chris who can come in at an undervalued contract. You're not going to be able to rely on Chris to, I think, at this stage in his career, as much as we love Chris and the excellence that he's had for so many years, I don't think you can rely on him to give you 52, you know, Chris Paul games that we're accustomed to anymore. You got to get him with the right 25, 30 games, and that means at the back end of the season, not at the front end. So I would definitely try and chase a Chris in free agency if he's available, but I wouldn't rely on him heavily. And then if I'm looking at what other additions you can find out there in the free agent market, there's going to be some veteran. One, you know, there's going to be a veteran that you can convince to come to the Lakers. But breaking it up or really making strong moves is predicated on LeBron. Is he going to play another 2 years? If he does play another 2 years at this level, then I hold pat, and I hope to somehow find one or two veterans out there at a really valued price and add to that equation.
Rick, I want to go to a team up in the Northwest for a second. Dame Lillard was on a podcast with Brian Custer yesterday, and you know, Brian asked him a question about, you know, if you can go to a team like, you know, Miami or, you know, the Brooklyn Nets, where would it be? And he said, oh, Miami for sure was out, even a question. Where do you stand on what you think Dame should do with the latter part of his career?
I think Dame right now is probably his worst enemy. By that I mean loyalty is a great quality. I love that when I hear him speak of the loyalty he has for those that, you know, identified him, drafted him. But there's at some point, there's KG could tell you this. Like, he was in Minnesota and logged a lot of years, and then eventually found his way to Boston. And I'm sure he couldn't imagine things would go the way it went for him there, having won a championship. And I'm sure he's proud of his Minnesota days. Doesn't discredit them, but I'm sure he's also glad he won a championship and had his days in Boston. So I think Dame once forcefully moved, because I don't think he's going to move unless the Portland Trailblazers just get the value for him, move him on to greener pastures, do him a favor by moving off of him and get, you know, a bunch of picks and a bunch of players, but put him in a position where he can be great for the game in another environment, great for himself, and really win a chip or two, because he deserves that. You know, he'll look back at 20 years in the league and realize that he's a part of a debate where championships matter, and that is in those top, you know, top 10 category, top 15 category, that, you know, quite frankly, if he keeps playing at the level he's playing at, he could find himself in a conversation like that. But he's going to need to play it at the big stage and win a championship.
Something Rick Fox knows a little bit about. Three-time NBA champion. Rick, coming up, I'm going to explain what was wrong with your criticism of not having Jokic in the top 20. I'm going to do that. However, you will not be present.
That's how we got these debates going, Max.
That's right. No doubt about it. Rick Fox, ladies and gentlemen. What's that? Oh, yeah. Hey, before we let you go, wait a minute. What have you been up to recently?
Well, outside of being at home in the Bahamas, I focused my energy on carbon-negative building materials. So if you care about building in a more sustainable way, I got a technology that builds materials that avoid CO2 and remove CO2 from the atmosphere. It's called Partana. So Partana.com, check it out. I appreciate you shining some light on it. But also, you can always come and visit down in the Bahamas, guys. I'm waiting to see you here, Max, Jay, and Keyshawn. You already know Keyshawn. You're always welcome, man.
Yeah, I was just there in the spring.
Yeah, okay, tell good. Me twice. I'll
you gotta look
you
me up next time. You probably didn't know
that's
I was
the next
here.
Flight.
No, I didn't know you were down
we'll
here.
We'll go get something to eat.
Okay.
Rick Fox, ladies and gentlemen. Great talking to you as always, Rick.
All right, Rick.
Thanks, guys.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
So Rick Fox was on. We got King McClure, ESPN basketball analyst, with us. Rick Fox was on just now, and he pushed back against my saying that Jokic, should he win finals MVP, like should they win the finals, he'll probably get MVP, he'd be in the top 20.
Yeah.
Rick Fox's thought was that you need to do a little more first, you know, wins a couple more championships, whatever. But the problem is this: if you're looking throughout all NBA history for a guy who's won multiple MVPs and multiple championships to put him ahead of Jokic, you kind of run out of guys. I already got 13 on there. KD would be another one. That's 14. Who else? Isaiah won two finals championships, but no MVPs. Dr. J didn't do it. Elgin Baylor didn't do it. Dirk got one. David Robinson got two chips, one MVP. You want to put him in there? Okay. Giannis got two MVPs, one chip. That's what Jokic. I'm just saying, Oscar Robertson, one chip, one MVP. So by Rick Fox's standard, there is no top 20. There's only a top like 15.
But is Giannis a better player than the Joker?
It's close.
But is he a better player?
I mean, they're both so different.
Would you take Giannis or would you take the Joker?
Oof, what I'm seeing right now from the Joker, that is a tough question. Those are two of the three or four names at the top of the sport right now.
Let me ask you this. If that was Giannis, who else would it be? King and Jay? What other big that I could think of that would play some defense?
I mean,
If he was going up against somebody else other Ish. Than
Embiid.
What seen. Embiid. If he was playing against Embiid, would he be doing this?
Yeah, because you can't stop him from his assists and all that stuff. There's nothing.
The thing that makes it hard to stop, Giannis is just a freight train in transition.
Yeah, he's a freak. Like, yeah.
And he's a great defensive player.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the reason I ask that is because if you're saying he got two plus the one championship and Jokic get two plus the one championship, he slides in there. I'm like, well, the reason Giannis is in there because he does everything. And he's good at everything.
Yeah, but you could put Giannis, even if you put Giannis over him, they're still on another five guys, right? That's the problem.
I think the one thing that kind of almost why I think it's neck and neck is if you're talking about Jokic not having the defensive side, which he's gotten better, then you have to factor into the Giannis and the shooting gyps that he has, right? Like to a degree. Like, so it almost evens that out. It almost feels like they're neck and neck in the race.
But
even with his shooting,
I don't know,
problems,
the free throw thing at the end of this year, I mean, granted, it's the back, and I know he worked on it the year before. It's still a pretty big thing. I mean, that's what you love Jokic for, right? The skill set is the elite of the
league. I normally like the best two-way player better than just the great offensive player.
Yeah.
The only thing I'll say is this. Every now and then, like Magic was not a great defender. But when you can completely control a game with your offense, I'm going to make an exception. You know, Magic Johnson is you know, on everyone's top 10 and a lot of top fives because of the way he could control your whole offense. that's what the Joker is doing. He's an offensive, he's coordinating, orchestrating everything.
I mean, to your point, I agree with you. I would say before this season, before this playoff run, I'm always taking the two-way guy, the two-way player.
Me too.
But with what Jokic has done, with the way, like you said, he has controlled the game, the way he makes everybody around him better, and just the effortless scoring that he's shown in this postseason.
But see, that's
Steph. Steph is the same thing. Steph Curry. Steph's not a great defender, but the offense, at a certain point, you just got to give it up and be like, okay, look,
that's
it's
what
a
I'm
lot.
Saying. It's how you construct the roster, right? If you're thinking like a GM, you're like, okay, if I have a guy that can accumulate 15 assists a night and give me 25 points, I can find 3-and-D guys. I can find specialists that can be additive to what he does.
That's fair.
So it all depends on how you want to construct your roster.
It's in the context of a team and what leads to championships.
Exactly. I think I'm going to take Jokic because I think ultimately – You can plug and play Jokic in any system.
I can't put Jokic over Giannis at the moment because I already saw Giannis give him 50 in a closeout game in the finals to chip up. Let's see Jokic do it. He looks like he's on his way to do it.
Y'all
let's see him finish the job. You can't
moment,
put him overhead
though.
Giannis. Yet.
What are you talking about?
Man, I just because – a year ago, we wouldn't have never even said this. The conversation would have never came up.
But see, though, guys, this is
it
how it
wouldn't
works
have came up if Giannis had no back issue and was in this final, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Maybe
you know
not, man, unless they were getting beaten by Jokic.
By the way, the best player in the world is a crown that should get handed to that individual each year.
Each year, I agree.
Right? Like, each year you have to prove it. So, like, you take in, like, what the sample size is, Max, and then you factor in all the ancillary things, right? So, like, the back thing is a real thing. Like, maybe we wouldn't have seen Miami.
Jay's right.
But so how do you crown somebody each year with the different set of factors? Into
from when I was a kid, Jay, that's been true. It was Kareem. And then everyone's like, oh, Magic and Bird. No, slow down, everyone. It was Moses after Kareem. And then after Moses, it was Bird. It was not Magic, but it was Bird for a while. And then MJ came, and right as MJ was coming up, Magic took it from Bird. And then MJ had it for a while, but all these people I'm saying were establishing it year after year after year.
The best player in the game each year is Game of Thrones each year.
Yeah.
It's what we're watching, right? Like, who's jockeying?
It doesn't matter it doesn't mean what Jay is saying to me, Jay. I don't think what you mean is that you have to win the championship to be called the best player in the league.
No.
But it certainly helps.
The body of work.
It definitely helps. It definitely will help. And I think if Jokic wins it, matter of fact, I think Jokic is already best player in the league right now. He's taking that title. But if he wins the championship, it's undisputed.
Undisputed.
Undisputed this year.
At this year, right? This year.
This year.
So we got to see a healthy Giannis.
He has to take the title.
He has to get the title.
I think you have to take the title.
Which I don't think he will.
Go get Pat some hummus, Jay.
Yeah, Pat won't eat anything that's healthy at all. That's it. If it's healthy, he will not eat it.
Get him some heart of palm while you're at it, too.
Delicious. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, thank you, King McClure. Greeny coming up. See you tomorrow. It's exam. Perp.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.